thankful for the cross of Christ. He borrowed a tomb as well. He didn't need to keep it. The tomb was borrowed, but the cross was his. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. This evening we're going to study verses 38 to 41. I hesitate to tell you that I don't plan to preach very long tonight. That usually doesn't work out very well for me. Stop shaking your head, Brother Bill Don. I try sometimes. I never think, but sometimes that doesn't work out. We covered a lot of ground this morning. We've got just a little bit of ground to cover tonight, but I want to try to answer the question tonight, who is for us? If you would, stand with me to honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 38. Mark chapter 9 and verse 38. We've seen a lot of things here in Mark chapter 9, and as we continue on here, just back up to verse 36, if you would, please, to remind us of where we're at. Verse 36, we read, "And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And so we remember they were debating about who was the greatest. And they finally got up the nerve to ask Jesus, which he already knew what was in their hearts. And he sets the child in the midst and he says, "You've got to receive me like a child." And he says, "When you receive a child in my name, you receive me. And you receive me, you don't receive me, but you receive him that sent me, my heavenly Father." So this is what Jesus just said to the disciples. Okay? This is what he's teaching his church. Now look at verse 38. "And John answered him." So this is John's response to what Jesus just said about receiving a child in his name. John's response is, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us." Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, give us understanding of your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a right heart towards others. Lord, that you'd help us to have a compassion for all people and to have a focus on doing good to others. Lord, help us to mind our own business and not be busybodies in other men's matters. Help us to focus on the things you've set before us, to forget the things which are behind. Reach forth and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be the men and women you've called us to be. Forgive our sin tonight, and Lord, convict us tonight. Help us to be more faithful to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. So they're debating about who's the greatest. Jesus answers them by setting a child in the midst of them. And you remember he said, if you want to be the greatest, you need to be like a little child. In other words, to get higher in the kingdom, you've got to get lower in your own self. You've got to become humble, because if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. And so he calls for humility. Now, some of you may not realize it, but it's difficult to be humble. It doesn't matter if you don't think much about yourself. Some of you don't have much self-esteem, and you would think a person with low self-esteem would be humble, but that's really not necessarily true. You could have low self-esteem and still be very prideful in your heart. Pride is at the root of so much of our sin. It's at the root of all rebellion against God is our pride. And so they were struggling with this. And so Jesus goes on and says, if you receive a little child in my name, you receive me. And if you receive me, you're not really receiving me, you're receiving my Father. Why? Because Jesus and his Father are one. And to get to God, we must come through Christ. Amen. And it takes that humility to have a love and a humility like receiving a small child. Now, John's answer to this, John's response to this, it's almost like John wasn't really paying attention. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you're trying to explain something or say something to them or tell them something, or maybe you're teaching a class. I don't know if any of you teachers ever have this happen, but you're teaching a class and you're talking about subject A and you're trying to make a really good point about subject A and you really feel like you landed that point, and somebody raises their hand and you're like, oh, good teaching moment, this is great. And they ask a question and it comes from left field.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else have that experience? Okay, well, you've never taught children before or adults. That's what this reminds me of. Jesus is talking. You want to know about who's the greatest in the kingdom? Let me tell you. He that is least shall be first. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You've got to humble yourself. And if you'll humble yourself and you'll do things in my name, then I will bless you. And all of these things he's teaching them. And he says, and it's, I don't know, it was one of those look a squirrel moments, because out of nowhere, John says, Master, we saw somebody casting out devils in your name, but they don't follow us. And so we told them not to do that. We forbade them to do that. Look at it. We saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. I want you to notice the pronouns here. Not necessarily a bad thing to not follow us, is it? The accusation wasn't, he doesn't follow you, Jesus. The accusation in, he's not following us. This is what John had a problem with. This is what the other disciples had a problem with. He's not following us, so we told him to stop casting out devils. He was casting out devils in the name of the Lord. Now, who is this person? Where did they come from? Is this a disciple of John that didn't stop following John and start following Jesus? Is this a disciple of John the Baptist that didn't start following Jesus? Is this some other disciple along the way that kind of went on their own? Was this someone who Jesus said, follow me, and they didn't follow him? They just stayed where they were? Where did this person come from? We have no idea. But there's no indication in the text that the person wasn't effective. Apparently, they were casting out devils in the name of Jesus, and the devils were being cast out. That's a good thing. Amen? It's not a bad thing. Listen, you try to bring this to today's situation. Let me help you out. If you're in town tomorrow and you're at the gas station and you hear somebody at the gas pump preaching the gospel, giving the gospel to somebody else, and they don't go to Calvary, don't you dare go over there and stop them. That's about what we're talking about here. John thought he was doing a good thing to disciples. And by the way, he said, we saw one and we forbade him. So I'm kind of picking on John, but it wasn't just John. He's just the spokesman. But the disciples saw somebody doing a good thing, casting out devils in the name of Jesus. But because they weren't following along with them everywhere they went, they said, oh, you don't need to do that. So you see, their focus was not on the good being done, but their focus was on themselves. That's a problem. I think if we're not careful, we can fall into that same trap. I am a missionary Baptist. I believe that we have the truth. I believe occasionally we actually follow the truth. I'm not a missionary Baptist because my mama was one or my daddy was one. I'm not a missionary Baptist because my grandma was one. I'm a missionary Baptist because I believe this is the truth. If God showed me something in the Word of God, if there's something in here that's contrary to the Word of God that we believe, then I'm happy to not be a missionary Baptist anymore. I want to be true to the Word of God. I hope everybody understands what I'm trying to say and not saying very well. I want to be true to the Word of God. Amen. Not a doctrinal statement of a denomination. Right. Okay, there I think I might have said it good that time. Amen. Stick with it. Eventually you'll get it, or just dig a hole so deep you can't get out of. These men were so concerned about who was following with them. Remember, they kept saying us. That they couldn't see the good that was being done. if we're not careful as missionary Baptists, we might take it as our objective in life to correct everyone else out there for what they don't agree with us on, or they're not following with us on. And we're going to see tonight that we just need to let them do what they do. We need to do what we know is right, and we need to let them do what they do. It's not our job to be out there trying to correct everybody. Look at the next verse. Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me." Forbid him not. He's not following with us, Lord, so we forbade him. Don't forbid him, the Lord says. Don't forbid him. Why? "For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me." And this word lightly means quickly or immediately. This is, listen, somebody who is out there in the name of Jesus casting out demons is not somebody who's going to be against Jesus. If in the name of Jesus he's casting out devils, that power can't be in him and working through him if he's not of the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you is that some unbeliever, some ungodly person out there just spouting out the name of Jesus, it's not a magic word. There's power in the name of Jesus, but only because the Spirit moves in the power. And if they don't have the Spirit, they're none of His. And there's no power working in this world except the Spirit of God is working. There are people in our country today on TV preaching things and saying, if you'll just claim things in the name of Jesus, I'm here to tell you that's nonsense. If this man was able to cast out devils in the name of Jesus, it's because Jesus' Spirit was moving in that. Verse 40, "For he that is not against us is on our part." Or Luke says it like this in Luke 9 and verse 50, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, this guy is not following you, that's true, but he is not against you, he's for you. So don't stop him from doing that good thing, let him alone. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'll deal with him when I want to deal with him. I don't know if any of you had a wonderful kindergarten teacher like I did, but she taught me in kindergarten, I learned this lesson. See if anybody else got this lesson. Mind your own business. Did anybody else get told that? Anybody still get told that? I remember being very perplexed by that when I was in kindergarten. You guys are really smart. I'm not very smart. I'm a little slow. But I didn't understand what she meant. What do you mean, mind my own business? I guess I thought everybody else's business was my business. Whatever they're doing, whatever they said, whatever they did, whatever they're doing on their paper, I felt like that was my business. I felt like it was part of what I needed to do to get up out of my seat and go look at their paper. But my kindergarten teacher felt like that was not my business, and she wanted me to learn to mind my business. You've got work to do. Quit worrying what everybody else is doing. Amen. You know, a lot of those lessons you learned in kindergarten would do well for us to remember today. I want to hold your place here, if you would. I want you to look with me to Numbers chapter 11. Hold your place in Mark 9, but look at Numbers chapter 11. Find verse 25. Numbers 11 and verse 25. "And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took a spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them." You see, when the Spirit of God came down to the 70 elders and he empowered them, just like every time the Spirit of God empowers somebody, they started preaching. Amen. By the way, that doesn't change throughout the whole Bible. The Spirit of God is on somebody, they're going to proclaim the Word of God. Somebody say amen. If you're filled with the Spirit today, you know what you're going to do? You're going to proclaim the gospel. It's going to happen. If the Spirit's in you, the Word of God's going to come out of your mouth. And that's what happened. They're prophesying in the camp. There was two. The Spirit goes to the tabernacle, so all of these that are prophesying, they go out to the tabernacle, they're preaching, they're proclaiming, they're prophesying, but there were two that stayed in the camp. Moses and everybody else goes outside of the camp to the tabernacle. These two remain, and they're preaching in the camp to anybody that's still there that'll listen. And a young man sees that, and he runs to tell Moses, hey, Eldad and Medad, they're still up there prophesying. And Joshua was always by Moses' side. He was Moses' right-hand man. And when Joshua hears that they're up there prophesying, he says, Moses, don't let them do that. Don't let them be up there prophesying in the camp. And I want you to look at Moses' response in verse 29. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Listen, this is a great picture, an Old Testament example of exactly what we see with John and the others. They see somebody casting out devils in the name of Jesus, but they're not following them. They don't go with them. And they says, you need to stop doing that. But the Lord says, don't forbid them. And here we have in the Old Testament, Eldad and Medad are there, and they're preaching in the camp. And Joshua says, oh, don't let them do that. And Moses says, are you envious for my sake? Would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that his Spirit was on every one of them. Listen, if we had the miraculous ability to cast out demons today, would to God that everybody here could do that. If we had the miraculous ability to heal sickness, would to God that every member of this church had that ability, and we would just leave here tonight and we would split up, and some of you could go to Sparks, and some of you could go to Mercy, and some of you could go to Salisaw and Tahlequah, and we'd just go to all of the hospitals in our region, and we would heal everybody that we could. Amen? We don't have the miraculous ability to do that today, but you know what we do have? We have the ability to be filled with the Spirit of God and proclaim the Word of God. And we should never try to keep anyone else from doing that. If somebody's preaching false doctrine, if they're proclaiming something but it's not the gospel, then we ought to stand up for the truth. But when someone's preaching the truth, leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're on our part. If they're not against us, they're for us. They're for us. Why weren't they following? We don't know. And I don't think it's wise for us to try to speculate. Whoever this was doing something great in the name of Jesus. Why they weren't following with the other disciples, we have no idea. Maybe there was good reason. Maybe there wasn't good reason. But whatever it is doesn't take away from the good that they were doing. So forbid them not. If he's not against us, he is on our part. Back in our text in verse 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. When Jesus came, he came to the gospel was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Jesus dealt with the Samaritan woman, and he dealt with some others that were outside of Israel. And then God did something incredible. He raised up a man named Saul of Tarsus to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And the gospel went to the Gentiles in earnest. He still went to preach to the Jews first, but then also to the Greeks. And God gave his gospel to all of these. The Jews had a hard time with that. They thought that the oracles of God were theirs and nobody else. They jealously guarded the scriptures. They jealously guarded the things of God. They didn't feel like it was for anybody else. And they had a hard time accepting the fact that God would allow Gentiles to be saved and come into his kingdom. They had a hard time with that. I'm afraid sometimes today they had a hard time understanding. Jesus prayed and he said, I have sheep that are not of this flock. And the Jews had a hard time with that. I think sometimes we missionary Baptists have a hard time understanding that Jesus has some sheep that are not of this flock. Now listen, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to negate doctrinal truth. I'm not trying to negate ecclesiastical separation. We need to stand for the truth. There's a reason we believe what we believe, and those truths matter. But we don't need to go against them, because if they're not against us, Jesus says they're for us. They're not against us. They're on our part. So we've got to use some real wisdom and be careful about who we might speak against. We need to use some wisdom and be real careful about who we might forbid. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
We need to be careful. Doesn't mean that we just sit by and let somebody spout false doctrine and we just listen to it and act like it's okay. No. But at the same time, when someone's doing good in the name of Christ, Jesus says they will not lose their reward. When it's something simple, how hard is it to give a cup of water to drink? What a simple kindness. What a small thing. But Jesus says when somebody does that in His name, those people that do that will not lose their reward. It's a simple thing. But they do it and they give the credit where it's due because they do that good deed in the name of Jesus. There are a lot of people who are doing a lot of good in the world today. They're doing it in the name of just goodness. And they will have no reward of God. But when you do good in the name of Jesus, you will never lose that reward. We ought to do good. As much as lieth in us, we ought to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. We ought to do good, and we ought to be thankful for others who do good. And we ought to be very careful and use wisdom about who we would stand against. He that is not against us is on our part. He that is not against us is for us. So the question tonight is, who is for us? Whoever's not against us. And you might think that's difficult to discern. But I want to tell you, friends, it's not too hard. It's pretty easy to find the ones who are against us. It's easy to find the ones who are against the gospel. It's easy to find the ones who are against the truth of the Word of God. But if they're not against us, then they're for us. And we let them do what they do. And we need to mind our business to do what God's called us to do. You know, a lot of the conflict that we see in school or even church or in our families is when we're so concerned about what everybody else is doing, what are we doing? We're neglecting what we need to be doing.
Amen.
And if I'm busy doing what I'm called to do, I've got a lot less time to be a busybody in what other people are not doing or are doing. I've always found it interesting to see, kind of ironic. People are over here talking about how somebody else is not doing their job. I don't think watching whether they're doing their job or not is really your job. So now we've got two people not doing their job. What I ought to do is just find what God has called me to do and do it with all my might and let God sort out the rest. This evening, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, would you stand with me if you're able? It's easy to look around at others and try to decide whether they're doing their job or not. It's a lot harder to look into the mirror of the Word of God and figure out if you're doing what you need to do or not. But that's what I would challenge you to tonight. Look in the Word of God. You know what God's called you to do. You know what He's called you to let go of. You know that He's called you to put off the old man, to put on the new man, to go and proclaim the gospel day by day, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And if we are negligent in any area, rather than trying to shift the blame or look at what other people are deficient in, let's look at our own selves tonight, and if God's convicting your heart about anything, get it right with the Lord tonight while we sing.
Page 573.
Number 573.